And welcome to the Sportscast, January 11th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And visit our website, thesportscast.net. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. The NFL Divisional Playoffs are here. With three away teams winning last weekend during the wild card. And a lot of big games this weekend. There's maybe one game or two that you could say that, you know, one team that can squeak out. But it looks pretty leveled. Anyways, to join us to talk to us about the playoffs is Mr. Jeff Farr. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks a lot, Santiago. I'm ready.
Jeff, big weekend, big test for Kansas City. How do you see this weekend? Is it going to be a leveled weekend, you think, or do you think there's some games where you say, I know this team's going to win?
Anytime it gets into the playoffs, it's not too predictable. So I think anybody that says that there's a gimme on the schedule or an obvious win, then I think they're exaggerating. At the same time, I think what we have happen in some scenarios is that all these wild card teams that won in the first round, we might overvalue them a little bit because we saw them play more recently. And we have to keep in mind that these teams that got the one seed and the two seed, they got those positions because they're really good, you know. And sometimes it's in every sport, but especially in the NFL, we have this flavor of the week thing. So I think that when I look at all the games, I think the most likely upset is the Cowboys beating the Rams. I think that's the most likely upset. And the reason I say that is just matchup-wise, the Rams' run defense is their biggest weakness, and Ezekiel Elliott is one of the very best running backs in the NFL. And when you look at the Cowboys, they're one of those teams that will be stubborn about running the ball. They won't go away from it.
Yeah, that is one matchup I for sure saw that I think that because Dallas did beat the Rams during the season, right?
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, I mean, the Rams' offensive line's pretty good, but the Cowboys' front seven, man, I mean, that front seven is really, really good. And Jared Goff, in the games that teams have got pressure on him, he's really had some rough moments. And I'm not saying Goff isn't good or anything like that. But the Eagles game plays in my mind. The Eagles hit him early, and he really, in some ways, was the difference in that game. Turned the ball over, made some really poor decisions. I mean, he had the one play that I don't even know if they ruled it a pick six or a fumble recovery, but he was getting sacked by two guys and just threw the ball up for grabs. So I think the Cowboys can get enough pressure on him that he doesn't just sit back there and pick them apart. And the Rams really have to hope that they can get him in a rhythm because in his previous playoff performance, he didn't play great. So that's really what I'll be watching. And again, I think that, you know, I always say this, the favorites deserve to be the favorites, and it wouldn't be called an upset unless it was an upset. So I know that sounds kind of dumb, but everybody wants to pick an upset like it's a given because we have seen a lot of upsets in the NFL, and there are upsets every year. But at the same time, the one or two seed has represented the AFC in the Super Bowl every year since, I want to say, 2013 or maybe even 2010. So my point is that the teams that are favored, a lot of them are going to take care of business. It's not going to be easy for the underdogs to pull the upset.
You think with the Cowboys' performance against the Seattle Seahawks, able to stop Russell Wilson, do you think that will make has made him stronger to compete against the Rams?
I don't want to take credit away from the Cowboys because obviously I think they're a good team, but I didn't think the Seahawks did themselves any favors in that game because Russell Wilson, man, he played well. He played really well, but when you run the ball on first down, what seemed like every drive, it almost felt as though the Seahawks were sabotaging themselves a little bit. Now, I do understand. You also can't drop back the pass 40 times. The Seattle offensive line isn't very good, and the Cowboys' pass rush is stellar when maybe not all the time, but when they're really tuned up and pinning their ears back, they're really, really tough. So I think the Cowboys are who they are. They have a really good defense. They have a really good running game. And Amari Cooper gives them just enough in the passing game to get by, you know, because other than Amari, unfortunately, they really don't have a lot of, you know, upper echelon talent in the receiving core. But I do think that's how they're going to win. They're going to win those ugly type games. So I think they, anytime you win a playoff game, you feel good about it, and they should feel good about beating the Seahawks. But I don't really think it changes their dynamic. I think winning or losing, they were going to go down running the ball and playing defense and just hoping that Dak could make enough plays, you know, make a couple plays.
Keep in mind that Dak, I heard he's injured. He's going to be play injured this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, in the playoffs, a lot of guys are playing hurt. So that's a tough one. I mean, my whole mentality with that is if you're healthy enough to be on the field, then you're healthy enough to play. Right, you know, you can't, and I get it, you know, maybe at some point during the game he'll make a throw and we'll say, all right, you know, he's not right. But until that happens, you have to assume if the guy's on the field, he's capable of playing.
Now to the other round, to the other match we have this weekend is the Chiefs and the Colts. Last weekend, the Colts dismantled the Texans. I mean, are we looking at a Colts, a very good Colts team? Or the Houston's O-line is that bad that there was no chance for them?
I think it's some of both. I'll say this for the Texans. They lost Will Fuller, who was their deep threat, and the guy that kept things open for Hopkins. They lost him earlier in the year. Then they traded for Demaryius Thomas from the Broncos. He got hurt. So the Texans are out there with one of their starting receivers, and don't get me wrong, Hopkins is awesome. Well, then what happens? He hurt his shoulder and had a grade three AC, joint injury. So they said by the end of the game, he couldn't shake anyone's hands or take his own shirt off. So not to take away from the Colts, but they really, going into that game, Hopkins was really the only guy they had to be concerned with, and then he was playing very, very limited. So I think there's a lot of things at play there. I thought it was more impressive that the Colts moved the ball the way they did early in the game against the Texans defense playing in Houston, because the Texans defense is pretty good. But when I watched that game, it was just Deshaun Watson really did not do himself any favors, because, again, all these guys are injured, so that's going to hurt you. But even with all those guys out, Watson had guys open. I mean, they schemed guys open. And I didn't think the Colts' coverage was very good throughout that game. And whether it was a mental thing where Watson just didn't trust what he was seeing, obviously the offensive line was a problem. I mean, the Colts' pass rush is okay, but, you know, against the Texans, there were a lot of times where they were overwhelming them. And then once they hit Watson a few times, I also thought there were times where Watson had a completely clean pocket and he panicked. And that happens sometimes, especially with a young quarterback. If you hit them early in the game, then they start seeing things that aren't really there. But at the end of the day, I don't think you can take a whole lot from that game on the Colts defense, but I do think that you look at it and say that on offense, they do some good things. And again, even with the offense, though, they got shut out in the second half. Now, it was some of that them being more conservative, you know, possibly, but even so, you'd like to see them put some points on the board in the second half.
Now, you think we'll be seeing, I mean, are we seeing a MVP Andrew Luck, or we're just seeing a little step down from that? Like, how do you see him now?
Well, this might sound a little biased. I mean, I think Mahomes is the MVP, and I think Drew Brees is right there, and I think Phillip Rivers is right there.
I mean, what I mean was, like, his style. Like, you think he's playing at the highest level right now?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, the point I was going to make is just that if it wasn't for those guys I just mentioned having, you know, great years, I think Luck would be mentioned as an MVP candidate.
Okay, yeah.
And I would also make the argument, if you look at the overall roster of the teams I just mentioned, the Chiefs, Saints, Chargers, and Colts, the Colts far and away have the worst roster. So Luck has the least amount of talent surrounding him of any of those guys that I just mentioned. Now, the offensive line's pretty good. They have a little bit of a running game. T.Y. Hilton is awesome. I mean, T.Y. Hilton is just a stud. But other than him, they don't have a lot of depth and a lot of quality receivers with the Colts. So Luck is really making some of those guys probably better than what they would be anywhere else. So that's an MVP type quality. And I think Luck's been playing great. And I think Frank Wright has done an awesome job of building an offense that has them take a lot less hits. You know, they chip edge defenders a lot with the tight end and with running backs, and they get the ball out quickly. You know, they do a lot of things so that Luck doesn't take these gigantic hits that he used to.
Yeah. Now, there is a lot of chatter in the sports world that the Colts could possibly beat the Chiefs because of the Chiefs' defense. What's your take on that?
They definitely could. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it's a given that the Chiefs are going to win. But the other side of that argument is the Colts haven't stopped the good offense all year. You know, I mean, I shouldn't say that. They had one game they shut out the Cowboys, and I don't care who you're playing. Shutting out a team is a big deal. That's tough. So I can't. But if you look at their schedule as a whole, look at the quarterbacks they played the second half of the year, and there is just nobody on that list. The best quarterback they played against was Dak Prescott, and he's not exactly, you know, setting the world on fire. So I think that, you know, this Colts defense reminds me a lot of the Steelers defense a couple years ago. When they play quarterbacks that don't have plus arm talent, they can get away with playing their cover two scheme, and those types of quarterbacks just don't make the necessary throws. But I don't think they're going to be so fortunate against Mahomes. I mean, the big thing for me is the Colts had to take away one target last year. I mean, I'm sorry, last week. And when you play the Chiefs, the first thing is the Colts are dead last in every statistic in terms of covering the tight end. So Travis Kelce is going to be a monster problem. Travis Kelce is going to have a gigantic day. I think Tyreek Hill is the guy that the Colts will probably focus in on. They don't want Tyreek Hill catching his 60 and 70 and 80 yard bombs. But to me, one of the keys will be, you know, whether or not Sammy Watkins plays. If Sammy Watkins does play, he's going to have a big game. You know, because the Colts just don't have an answer for him. If they shift their coverages to take away Tyreek Hill, both Kelce and Watkins are going to get favorable matchups every single route that they run. To me, one of the big keys will be, you know, when you get into the red zone, who's going to score touchdowns? Because I think both teams are going to get into the red zone. Now, the Colts offense is built well for that because they have a really good offensive line. I would say the Chiefs have a little bit of an advantage because they have more weapons. You know, the Colts have T.Y. and they have Ebron, who's really good in the red zone. But obviously, Ebron's not on par with Travis Kelce. And then, you know, T.Y. and Tyreek are pretty similar. You know, they're both great dynamic receivers that can beat you 100 different ways.
It's going to be a quite interesting match. You know, every game this weekend is going to be interesting. Let's go towards the Chargers and the Ravens last weekend. How serious are the Chargers? I know Lamar Jackson had a bad game. How did you view that game? It was pretty tight most of the way.
I felt the Chargers, okay, so they were the first team to see Lamar Jackson in that Baltimore offense a second time, and I really thought they had a solid game plan put together. Nothing was easy. I mean, that was the big thing that stood out to me. The Ravens weren't getting these easy 8 and 10 yard runs. You know, they were working for it. And the Chargers, so I do think they're a real contender, but if you're the Chargers, I think matchup-wise, they would have rather gone to Kansas City than to New England. And it's not that I think New England is necessarily any better than Kansas City. It's just that the Chargers are much more familiar with them. So if you're looking at a two-pronged question, are they contenders, but do you think they'll win? I do think they're contenders. I think they could win in New England, but I think it's a tall task to go win in New England when they had an extra week to prepare for you. So I don't think losing to New England takes away any of the legitimacy of the Chargers, but it's just a really tall task.
You think they should have put in Flacco during the second half?
Not necessarily. I think that's a situation where the grass is always greener on the other side. I don't think Lamar Jackson played well, and I don't think Lamar Jackson is a good passer. I mean, the reality of it is he left a lot of throws on the field. I mean, there were a lot of times where the Ravens drew up quality plays and Jackson just airmailed the ball or threw it at their feet. So it wasn't really a good showing for him. I think in terms of just being able to throw the ball, Flacco would have done a better job. But the thing that I think would have hurt them with Flacco in, the Chargers, in a lot of scenarios, when they were rushing the quarterback, they had to be very careful about keeping their lanes and making sure they didn't let Jackson get out of the pocket. So in some ways, that slows down your pass rush. If Flacco was in there, I just don't know if the Ravens could block the Chargers up front well enough to give them time to throw. So that's the, you know, I think you have to keep Jackson in there. I mean, that's...
Yeah, there's an argument where you just got to win for today, you know, type of thing. Look, I mean, yeah, Lamar did not perform well in the first. Let's put Flacco. He's able to complete passes.
And that's fine, too, but I also think there's a reason that Joe Flacco didn't come back after his injury. Mm. It's because he didn't play well before the injury.
Yeah.
So we all want to say, oh, Flacco would do better, Flacco would do better. Maybe he would, and I get it. He's played well in the playoffs before, but there's no guarantee that Flacco is just going to come in and light the world on fire, because what we saw this year, the last game that he played against the Steelers was one of the worst quarterback performances I've seen all year. I mean, it wasn't worse than Blaine Gabbert, but it was bad, you know. And maybe he was playing through the injury, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, he was really bad. So I just think it's the easy thing to say, oh, it would have to go better if Flacco was in. That might not necessarily be true.
Easier said than done. And who knows, he might have be dealing with injuries as well that we don't know of. For the Chargers coming into New England this weekend, they're facing a weaker Patriot team. Do you think that's the case?
To some extent, yes. I don't think this is a great Patriots team, but I do think their defense this year is slightly better than last year. And the one matchup that I'm curious about is if the Chargers keep running this defense where they take all their linebackers off the field and just have a four-man front and then a bunch of safeties and corners, you know, the Patriots will bludgeon you to death if you do that. They'll run the ball 50 times if you line up that way. And that's the underrated part of the Patriots, is that they play in a way that they can take advantage of whatever your weakness is. And I think, you know, Tom Brady had one of the worst years of his career, and Gronkowski is beat up, and Josh Gordon's gone now. So they don't have – and Edelman, I mean, I think Edelman's looked pretty good, but I wouldn't say that he's been the best version of himself. So I don't think it's a great Patriots team, but I also think they're so smart and they're so good at taking advantage of what your weakness is. I think they're going to run the ball a lot on the Chargers. And as good as Phillip Rivers has played at the end of games, he's turned the ball over early. I want to say he's thrown an interception in four straight games. So if you go into Foxborough and let's say the Patriots do one of their boring 5 and 6 yards a play drives and then they cap it off with a touchdown and then Rivers comes out and throws an interception, do you really want to be down 10 or 14 to the Patriots to start a playoff game? So I think the Chargers could beat them and they can hang tough. But if I was a betting man, I'm still going with the Patriots.
Yeah, Phil Rivers is one of the greatest, I mean, great quarterbacks that still haven't gone to a Super Bowl yet. So this might be his last run.
It probably, you know, there's not a lot left there. You know, the Chargers have a really good roster. They have a lot of young talent, but Rivers' time is coming closer to an end here.
Exactly. Philadelphia had an amazing, lucky win last weekend against the Bears. What do you see with the Eagles? Are they just got lucky, or do you think they are the real deal?
I think they earned that win. Everybody focuses on the missed kick at the end, but the thing not many people talk about is the fact that the Bears' offense scored one touchdown.
Wow.
So, yeah, and the Eagles, it's been well documented. The Eagles are missing so many guys in the secondary that the guys that are starting now weren't even on the roster to start the year. So Mitch Trubisky made a few nice throws there at the end, and that's what stuck in everybody's head. But for a majority of that game, I didn't think Trubisky was very good. I just didn't think he played well. And, you know, if you're the Bears, I have a tough time blaming the kicker for missing one kick. And I know he hasn't been good this year, so that's part of the fans' frustration. But when you watch that game, the offense had plenty of opportunities, and the Bears' defense held the Eagles in check for a long time. You have to score more than, I want to say the Bears scored 15, if I'm not mistaken. You just can't do that. You can't do that in a playoff game. You have to be better.
Has the conversation or debate have increased with the situation with Nick Foles? Do you think Nick Foles is definitely the real deal? And do you think if he goes deeper, you know, will we have be having that conversation? Maybe he is the starting quarterback for the Eagles.
No. I think the conversation is going to come to a screeching halt in New Orleans. You know, not to take anything away from what Nick Foles has done, but let's make sure that we're not exaggerating. Because here's what I see a lot of. I see a lot of people saying, oh my gosh, here we go again. Well, Foles has done his part, but last year the Eagles were the one seed. They won a really, really ugly game against the Falcons, like 15-12 or 18-15, some, you know, low-scoring defensive battle. And then, yes, he did look good against the Vikings, and they ran the Vikings off the field. But I think that this is a completely different scenario. The Eagles aren't as good of a team this year. So he's going to actually have to make up for some of these other weaknesses, and I don't see him doing that. You know, especially not against the Saints in New Orleans. So I think this is kind of where the magic carpet ride comes to an end. And I think, again, so much of sports is recency bias. You know, we talked about Andrew Luck having probably the best year of his career. Well, last year at this time, we weren't sure if he was going to play again.
Yeah.
So I think Carson Wentz is the same thing. Carson Wentz was going to be the league MVP before he tore his ACL.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. He was the best quarterback in football that year. So he's had some really bad injury luck. He had the ACL. Now he has his back injury. He didn't look right when he was playing. Let's let Carson Wentz get healthy, and then it'll come back to our memories. We'll see, like, oh, that's right. He's a top 5 to 10 quarterback in the NFL right now. We're going to keep him and send Foles on his way.
Definitely a conversation where we'll see if Foles, you know, does leave Philadelphia. He'll be a great free agent. For a lot of teams that need a quarterback or need a short fix, he would be a great, great solution. A couple of coaches were hired this past week. The Buccaneers hired Bruce Arians. Packers hired Matt LaFleur. Cardinals hired Cliff Kingsbury from USC. Browns hired Freddie Kitchens. Jets just hired Adam Gase. And the Broncos hired Vic Fangio. Which of these teams got the better end of the deal?
Of all the teams, assuming they get a high-quality defensive coordinator, I like what the Browns did, because I thought that the most important thing in all this is to make sure that your franchise quarterback has some level of continuity. So obviously Baker and Kitchens got along well, they worked together well. Keep that in place, you know, and then build around that. So I like what the Browns did the most. Beyond that, you know, it's a lot of recycling. Bruce Arians, I think, is a good coach, so I like what Tampa did. If he brings Todd Bowles with him, which it sounds like it's probably going to work out that way, then I think that would be a really nice coaching staff for the Buccaneers. I think that would be a solid move. Beyond that, you know, it's a lot of wait and see.
You don't think you think Greg Williams would have been a good head coach for the Browns?
I'm going to be a little bit of a hypocrite here because Baker Mayfield played well with him as the head coach. But I just think long term, if you finally have your franchise quarterback, you got to pull out all the stops to make sure you have the best fit for him.
Yeah.
And I just don't think Greg Williams was that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. He will. He's actually in position to be the defensive coordinator for the Jets, so that is still pending. Obviously, the whole thing with the Jets have been, you know, trying to get things together. There's only two vacant spots left, the Dolphins and the Bengals. Do you have any input on that? You know, like, who do you think they'll get?
Well, I thought at one time the Bengals would get Eric Bieniemy, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I'm really not sure what the Dolphins are doing, but, you know, the one thing I would say is just that, you know, we talked about the Colts earlier and how great of a job Frank Reich has done. Well, he wasn't signed until much, much later in the process. And actually, the Colts already thought they had Josh McDaniels, and then he bailed on them. So I guess my point with all of this is just that I think patience sometimes pays off. Let the playoffs play out. And I know that gets you behind on the draft and all those things, but let the playoffs play out and see if anybody else separates themselves there. I think Eric Bieniemy would be a good head coach. Selfishly, as a Chiefs fan, I'm hoping that he stays in Kansas City, but that might be a guy that the Dolphins could take a look at.
What do you think is going to happen with Antonio Brown at Pittsburgh?
So the Pittsburgh Steelers are a team that you just don't mess with. You know, when it comes to these types of things, you know, you look at Mike Wallace and even to a lesser extent, Emmanuel Sanders. Now, I guess Emmanuel Sanders ended up with the Broncos and won a Super Bowl, so you can't really hate on that too much. But with the Steelers, they just replace you. You know, and when it comes to drafting wide receivers, nobody does it better than the Steelers. But I hate to say this. I think it's going to be an everybody loses situation with that because the Steelers will probably trade Brown to some wasteland team that's going to do a bunch of losing, and Brown's just going to be stuck trying to get numbers. But if you're the Steelers, in a two-year period, you're going to lose Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And that is a lot to lose. I mean, I don't care what team you are. That is a lot of talent to have walk out the door. So the Steelers aren't going to be the same team without Brown. Even though I will say, Juju Smith-Schuster is awesome. I mean, he's going to be a great, great receiver, but he also benefited from teams having to double and bracket Antonio Brown.
Should be quite an interesting situation in Pittsburgh. A lot of cleanup. I don't expect to fire their coach. I think they would have done that by now.
I think Tomlin is a little bit of a scapegoat for some things that go on there. He might be a little bit too much of a player's coach, and I guess some people could say he let it fester too long to get to this point. But I think Tomlin's just the easy guy to blame.
Yeah, and he did have a winning season, but obviously did not make the playoffs. Anyways, we're heading towards the end of the show. Anything else before we go into game predictions?
I don't think so, man. I'm ready.
I think we're all focused on this weekend. Let's go for the first game, Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs.
So I think it's going to be a high scoring game. As a Chiefs fan, the playoff history is as bad as it gets. But I think when you just look at the two teams on the field, I think the Chiefs will just outscore them. I think they'll outscore them because they have more weapons on offense than the Colts do. And I think when you look at the defense, both quarterbacks are going to be dropping back to throw a lot. Both teams have pretty good tackles. But the Chiefs have three really good pass rushers. And, you know, Chris Jones, Dee Ford, Justin Houston, they just missed having three guys with 10-plus sacks. I think that when you look at it that way, there's a greater likelihood that Andrew Luck takes a hit in a key moment than Mahomes. So I just think it's going to come down to that. I think the Chiefs will just make one play on defense, and I think that'll be enough, and I think the Chiefs will win.
The Chiefs win and go on to their AFC Championship game. The Cowboys at the Rams.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys. I mean, I really do. I don't trust Jared Goff to play under pressure, and he's going to have to play under some level of pass rush. So when I look at this game, I think the Cowboys are going to shorten the game. They're going to run the ball a lot, and Zeke's going to get 5 yards a carry, and it's going to be a little bit boring, but I think the Cowboys are going to win, you know, maybe a 27-24 type game.
You know that Dallas has beaten both the Rams and the Saints this past season.
They have. I don't know that I'd pick them to beat the Saints again in New Orleans, though. But we'll get there. We'll get to that when the time's right.
It could happen. The Chargers at the New England Patriots.
I'm going to go Patriots, and just because, like I said, when you have a weakness, the Patriots will just. They'll exploit it over and over again until you fix it. And I actually think the Patriots are going to take the air out of the ball, and I think they're going to run the ball a lot this game, and the Chargers are going to have to adjust. And like I said, going to New England when they've had a week to prepare for you is just really tough. Oh, yeah. So I like the Patriots.
Yeah, you're right. New England has not lost at home in a while in the playoffs, so I really do think they have a big advantage. The Eagles at the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I like the Saints in this one. You know, the Eagles have just can't take anything away from the Eagles. They fought and fought and fought, and they ride this underdog mentality. But at some point in the playoffs, when you're down almost your entire secondary, at some point that gets exposed, and I think this is the week that that happens. And I don't think it'll be a blowout like it was the last time they played, but I could see a 10-point win for the Saints.
That's not a bad margin for the Eagles. If they, you know, for them, for that run, that's not bad to lose by 10 points. But we'll see what happens. I'm really excited about this weekend. I'm really going to be stay tuned. And all the games are good. I can't say one of them is the you know, the best. But and one more thing. What is random question of the day? Can you solve a Rubik's Cube?
Not unless I take all the stickers off.
Good one. So,
no. Now, I've never solved the Rubik's Cube.
Now, which game do you think will be the most exciting this weekend?
I would say Chiefs and Colts because it'll be the highest scoring.
It would be. You know, we're dealing with two great quarterbacks, you know, gunslingers. So, and, you know, pretty much their defenses are not as, you know, up to par. So we'll definitely see a high scoring game. So we'll see what happens.
Definitely.
Jeff, how can people reach you to talk to you about NFL playoffs?
The best way to follow along is at JT Fowler on Twitter.
JT Fowler on Twitter. Kansas City's big first big test. They haven't won a playoff game in a while, haven't they?
Yeah, since 1993, man. Don't remind me.
Oh, wow. Anyways, follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Please subscribe on iTunes, leave a rating and review, and enjoy yourselves this weekend because we're going to see the best football. The Patriots are back, so things should be exciting. Jeff, I appreciate you coming onto the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me.